I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Amid the New Hampshire economy's ups and downs of recent years, one bright spot has been our neighbor to the north. Canada has long been a great market for Granite State companies as our state's largest trading partner by far. And the relationship goes beyond simply goods going back and forth. New Hampshire and Canadian officials meet regularly on larger economic issues, including energy, transportation, and job creation. And at their most recent gathering, our guest today, Jeffrey Rose, was a key player in his new role as Commissioner of the state's Department of Resources and Economic Development. Rose officially took over from George Ball back in April, and in a way, this job as chief economic cheerleader for the state makes sense for Rose. He comes to the agency after 17 years in Granite State business and politics. Most recently, Rose was a top official at BAE Systems, one of our largest employers. Before that, he worked for several New Hampshire Republican members of Congress. Now Rose brings this background to economic development policy at a time when there's a lot of talk about economic headwinds for our state, despite often touted advantages in taxes and quality of life. Today in The Exchange, Commissioner Rose is here, and let's hear from you. How would you grade the Granite State's economy? What do you think could be done to better that grade? Also, state parks and forests and lands are under Rose's agency as well. How healthy would you say they are? How could they be improved? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Join the conversation on Facebook at NHPR Exchange or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And Commissioner Rose, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Delighted to be here, Laura.
Well, before we get into all the economic development issues and those headwinds that I mentioned and that you and others have talked about, a couple questions since this is the first time that we've sat down. As I said, you came to this job from the private sector working for a prominent company, BAE Systems. You've joked that you definitely took a pay cut to take this position. What's it been like for you, Commissioner Rose, coming from corporate America into state government?
It's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed the transition. And, you know, there's probably no job I can think of in the state that I'd be more excited than doing than serving in this role. I loved every moment when I was at BAE Systems. It's a fantastic company doing really important work on behalf of our men and women in uniform, and I took great pride in that. But equally, I take great pride in the state of New Hampshire. I'm from New Hampshire. I've lived here essentially my entire life and love the idea and the opportunity to be able to help promote and protect some of the unique aspects of the state. And that includes everything from our economic environment, which I think is very unique and distinctive, as well as our beautiful natural resources, which I think are equally unique and distinctive. So yeah. I'm having a fantastic time, really enjoying it, and it's, you know, just a true honor to have the opportunity to serve the people of the state.
Well, it is important to mention that, you know, Department of Resources and Economic Development does include those resources, state parks, forests, and lands, and we'll definitely talk about that. What was your reaction when Governor Hassan or one of her underlings called you and said, hey, I know you're happy down there at BAE, but how about becoming Commissioner of Resources and Economic Development?
Yeah, I was honored. I mean, I was really thrilled with the opportunity, and I was very excited. As I mentioned, I loved everything I was doing at BAE Systems, but you know, the opportunity to be able to make such a positive impact within the state and with an agency as diverse as the Department of Resources and Economic Development, I like to think of it that there's really no spot in the state that you don't have an opportunity to make a positive impact. So I was really, you know, thrilled and honored, and really looked at it as a moment in time where I could provide some public service and into a state that I care a great deal about.
What's been most surprising to you about this work, Commissioner Rose?
That's a great question. I think the thing that I've been most impressed with in this role is just how dedicated and enthusiastic the employees are that I have the privilege of working with. You know, I like to refer to it as, you know, we're all one team and working together, and, you know, I'm thrilled to be the captain of that team. But the enthusiasm and the dedication of the employees at the agency have been fantastic. And when you think about it, there's a reason behind that. I mean, you don't become a forest ranger unless you love being in the forest, or a park manager unless you love being outdoors, or promoting the state through travel and tourism unless you have that in your DNA, and supporting the state's economy through our economic development division. So, I mean, these are people that are very involved, very engaged, very passionate, and I think that's been the most exciting thing, is to be a part of this new team and sort of move forward together on behalf of the state.
Well, and when people looked at your background, I think they said, oh, okay, a BAE guy's coming in, he'll be good on the economic development side. Talk about the other side, though, because that's really important, too, the state forests, parks, lands, and your feeling of expertise or comfort in that area.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I know it was a good discussion that I had moving through the confirmation process as well. I'm a New Hampshire guy. As I said, I've been here for essentially my entire life. And, I remember doing my class trips out to Odeon State Park, or overnighting out at Bear Brook State Park, or, going to the fishing derbies out at Pawtuckaway. And, it's the natural resources that really get me excited about rounding out that entire picture. I've actually spent time working with each of the four divisions within the agency prior to the opportunity to serve the state in this role. And so I've had that level of experience and exposure, which is relatively unique considering the uniqueness of the agency. But again, it's that overall quality of the opportunities from the natural resources side as well as the economic development side that made me excited about this role.
Well, when you worked for those various members of Congress, I'm guessing you were out in the field working more on these forests and lands and parks issues.
Yes, that's a great point. And I did spend a lot of my time working on natural resource issues, transportation issues, forestry issues, and particularly, when you work for somebody is passionate about the outdoors as Jeb Bradley, you certainly spend a lot of time there, or even serving with Bob Smith when he was in the United States Senate. He was the chair of the Environment and Public Works Committee, and I spent a great deal of my time working directly with that committee and trying to help leverage the federal resources to help support the state and on the environment and natural resources side. So,
all right. And we'll do our best this hour to cover all those many diverse aspects of the department. Let me also invite our listeners to join us, Commissioner Rose. The number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Today in the exchange, we're sitting down for the first time with Jeffrey Rose, Commissioner of the Department of Resources and Economic Development. Prior to his appointment, Commissioner Rose served as Public Affairs Director for BAE Systems in Nashua. He's also served as Chair of the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, and as we've heard, has worked for several Republican members of Congress, both on the House and Senate side. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us with your questions or comments for Commissioner Rose. You can send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. So let's talk about some of the economic development issues first, if we could, Commissioner Rose, before you. And you said in an interview with New Hampshire Business Review shortly after you became commissioner that, quote, we have a very dynamic economy and are well positioned, but we faced headwinds that haven't been unique to New Hampshire. Lots of talk these days about headwinds. What are you trying to say there?
Well, I think there are sort of macro issues at play within the overall economy. Obviously, we've had some tough times from a national perspective, and New Hampshire's not unique to that. However, we are, I think, well positioned as we make slow and steady recovery through the past recession, and we are making steps forward. We're seeing good economic growth within the state. The business enterprise tax and business profits tax were up last year, so I think that's always a good indicator in terms of the growth within the overall macro side of our state's businesses. We're also seeing some positive trends right now with our export market, which is pleasant to see. We're about 18-19% increase this year over last year at this particular point in time. So yes, we do face challenges that we're working to try to help address. Some of them are more directly within our control than others, but I think overall we're trying to make sure we stay focused and trying to pay attention to the areas where we can make improvements and trying to make sure that we're well positioned to grow as the national backdrop continues to make slow and steady progress forward.
Yeah, that's interesting. So some of those headwinds, or whatever you want to call them, are more within our control than others. Which ones aren't in our control?
Well, you know, you sort of have some of the geopolitical issues, energy costs, you know, particularly when you start talking about, you know, gasoline or other
forms of transportation. That's a big issue for New Hampshire businesses.
And that always has an impact. You know, there are other costs. Health care costs are more of a macro issue that sometimes, you know, you can have maybe around the edges you can try to make an impact. But these are issues that by and large are national in scale. Some of the overall tax climate on the national level, some of the uncertainties associated with sequestration taking effect. You know, you had a lot of lead up into the fiscal cliff towards the end of last year. Businesses being a little uncertain as to exactly what that means, how that's going to impact them. New health care reform policies. You know, what's that going to look like? How is that going to impact them? So, you know, businesses appreciate certainty and predictability. And I think based on some of the macro issues at the national and international global level, sometimes those things have been less than certain. So those are issues that we don't have the ability to immediately control. However, we try to manage those, make sure we're aware of them, try to educate our businesses, make sure we're listening to our businesses to get a feel for what their issues are, what their concerns are, and where we can try to make those impacts in a positive way on the things that we can control.
Yeah, Jim Roach, the head of the New Hampshire Business and Industry Association, in an article after gun manufacturer Sturm Ruger decided to move south, he mentioned some of the things that you said, Commissioner Rose, the high health care costs in New Hampshire, the high energy costs. He also talked about high corporate taxes in New Hampshire. Is that an area where we do have a little more control, or is the problem more that America has high corporate taxes?
Well, I think our corporate tax structure is actually very favorable in the state. I think if you look at a lot of the national rankings, we have a very beneficial total business tax environment. I think we're ranked seventh in the nation right now based on the Tax Foundation's most recent survey. And we're the lowest, actually, or maybe the second lowest on the individual tax state.
Sure, due to lack of sales and income tax.
So I mean, those things do make a difference. And, you know, taxes certainly are a part of the overall equation. But I quite frankly think our tax structure is a distinctive advantage to the state. You know, when we're talking to businesses and saying that we don't have a sales tax, we don't have an income tax, we don't have an inventory tax, you know, these are things that they say, wow, that's fantastic. And so we're very comfortable in terms of putting our overall tax environment and stacking and racking it against other taxes, our other states, and the collective taxes that they pay. You know, we are not in the business of giving out, you know, new keys to a building or, you know, massive, you know, tax incentives, but we do have a long, rich tradition of manufacturing in the state and trying to provide a good quality environment for businesses to move forward.
Okay, lots more to talk about after a short break, and we'll take your calls, 1-800-892-6477.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning, and you're invited to join the Walter Peterson Legacy Society by including NHPR in your estate plan. When you do, you help ensure our on-air service to the New Hampshire community for years to come. For more information about the Walter Peterson Legacy Society and our many planned giving opportunities, visit nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from AARP, presenting You've Earned a Say, a community discussion on solutions to keep Medicare and Social Security strong, inviting Granite Staters to join the conversation at aarp.org/NH. From Small Dog Electronics, hosting an iPad seminar open to the public on September 17th at the Palace Theater, covering the iPad as a valuable business tool, registration at smalldog.com/seminars. And Cedar Crest Center for Children with Disabilities, therapy, special education, and round-the-clock care options for children with complex medical and developmental needs. CedarCrestCenter.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're sitting down for the first time with Jeffrey Rose. He's the new Commissioner of Resources and Economic Development for our state. And let's hear from you as we talk about both sides of Commissioner Rose's portfolio. We would love to hear your thoughts and comments. How would you grade the Granite State's economy on the economic development side? What could be done to better that grade? Also, as we talk about natural resources, what about state parks and forests and lands? Those are also under Rose's agency. How healthy would you say they are? How could they be improved? Give us a call, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Commissioner Rose, just before the break, we were talking about some of those economic headwinds that you and many others have talked about. And you said there's some look that there's not that much we can do at the state level. High energy costs, high health care costs, concerns about sequestration, questions about new federal health care rules, and so forth. Where can you folks at the Department of Resources and Economic Development make a difference?
Well, I appreciate that question. I think one of the things that we're really working to try to do is make sure that we're positioned to try to help the businesses that are here in the state and make sure that we have an understanding of what their needs are and what we can be doing to help, you know, preserve and protect those jobs, but also try to grow as they may consider looking at expanding. So some of the things that we are actively doing right now is we have a job training program where businesses can apply for support anywhere from as modest as $750 to as high as $100,000. And it's a way of trying to make sure that their employees that they have the skills that are needed to help meet their needs so they can deliver their goods and services to their customers. We also have a business retention team that actively goes in, about and talks to a lot of the businesses. We're talking with about 1,000 businesses a year throughout the state. So we're making sure that we have a feel for what their needs are. And then I think the other thing that we can try to do is make sure that we provide them with information about the different opportunities that there are within the state, you know, trying to find ways to bring collective partners to the table where we can try to work on issues that they might have at the local level, at the state level, and bring federal resources to bear when possible as well.
Now, that's interesting. A business retention team. I've never heard of that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, you want to make sure that you all the businesses that we do have in the state, make sure that they understand how appreciated they are, how we value their work here in the state, and make sure that that they're getting the goods and services that we can try to provide. Make sure we have that good dialogue and understanding of you know what's going on out in the business environment, and try to work with them. And when there's opportunities where we can bring assistance, we'll be there to do so.
So business retention, obviously, big part, keeping those folks who are here happy.
Absolutely.
What about a business attraction team? Do you have a team of people going out there saying, hey, come to New Hampshire?
We do. Yes, indeed. We have a retention and we have an attraction team, a recruiting team that go about trying to work with prospective leads that we have to talk to them about the opportunities in New Hampshire, about what the real estate market might look like, about some of the unique advantages. And one of the other things that we really make a conscientious effort to do with both our retention and our recruitment team is to try to find ways of bringing in different partners, particularly on the educational front. And that's one of the things that we consistently hear is about making sure that we have the skilled workforce to meet the needs of our businesses. And it's one of the other things I found remarkable is talking with as many businesses as I've had over the last 2 months or so, just the number of jobs that are either available today or will be available in the short term. And one of the most consistent things I hear about is making sure that we have the skilled workforce and the educational pipeline to help make sure that they can meet those needs. So
yeah, that's a concern we hear a lot, including in that article by Jim Roach that I mentioned before the break. You know, a concern is a lack of a workforce-ready labor pool, especially of young people trained in so-called STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. So that's the concern that everybody's raising. Do we have it? Are we close to having it?
We are working on it. Yes, absolutely. It is a priority, and we're seeing some good things happening, particularly at the community college level and at some of our institutions of higher learning. But we have some advanced degree, advanced manufacturing programs that are taking place, thinking out at Great Bay Community College, up at the Lakes Region Community College, up at the White Mountain Community College, some good programs taking place out at UNH in terms of trying to do some efforts around STEM and trying to really promote that innovative economy and trying to find ways of promoting that entrepreneurial spirit. So we are moving forward. The governor, Governor Hassan, is very committed to trying to help bring those different resources to bear to make sure that we have the skills that are necessary. But it's got to be a long-term commitment and a long-term effort by both the business community to talk about what their needs are, what their specific skills that they're looking for, and then also the educational community in terms of trying to make sure that the curriculum that they're developing and the programs that they have match up to, with what those needs are. And I view one of the roles of DRED that is trying to help make that connection and be that intermediary to make sure that the business community and the educational community is well aligned.
Well, and in your interview with New Hampshire Business Review, again, early on when you came into the job, you said you'd like to see funding restored to the university and community college systems. Now, that interview, I believe, was before the last budget was finalized. How are you feeling now after this budget is done? Higher education and community colleges did get a little more money. What do you think? Is it adequate or do we need more?
It was a significant step in the right direction, and I commend Governor Hassan for her strong commitment. She campaigned on that. It was a priority to her, and she made the case to the legislature to restore much of the funding that had previously been cut. And so, you know, when you talk about the fundamentals of economic development, first and foremost is to have the labor force to help meet the needs of the businesses. And so I think that type of commitment was really important. And the other thing that it did is the university and community college system froze tuition, which is another important development out of that debate. It was the first time, I believe, in 20 or 25 years. And so trying to make college and higher education more affordable as well is very important. So
I think that's a huge theme these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I think that was very important. I was really pleased of the governor's commitment and the legislature's commitment to restore that funding. But there are a lot of other things, I think, in that budget that really bode well, particularly from the governor's perspective of her commitment to economic development and providing that innovative economy through restoring funding through the Innovative Research Center out at UNH, restoring funding for our International Trade Resource Center, re-implementing the funding for the economic development director position in the state. And I think she recognizes that in order to move forward with an innovative economy, we need to make sure that we have Department of Economic Development within the Department of Resources and Economic Development that's whole and has the resources to be effective on behalf of the state.
All right. Let's get our listeners involved, Commissioner Rose. And then I want to turn for a few minutes to the other side of your department, if I could call it that, the parks, forests, and state lands. Let's hear from you this hour. It's your chance to talk with Jeffrey Rose. He's the new commissioner of the Department of Resources and Economic Development. The number for you to join us with your comments, questions, concerns, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Commissioner Rose, let's go to Bill calling from Groton. Hi, Bill. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Law. Commissioner Rose, I'm a director of the New Hampshire Small Business Institute, or a fledgling organization. And I wanted to talk specifically about the North Country. I've been talking to my members up there. And my estimate is that tourism, residential construction, and residential real estate are probably the base for most of the economic wealth, the wealth of the area, if you can call it that. We've lost a lot of the manufacturing up there, and I'm wondering what your position is on that. How are you going to balance between the beauty of the North Country and the need for that beauty to maintain that base of construction and residential and tourism with the development that the state is trying to seek out with wind development and the power issues and all that? I know it's a conundrum, but do you have any opinions on it?
That's a great question, Bill, and we talked about that earlier this week on The Exchange when we looked at Northern Pass. Go ahead, Commissioner Rose. Thanks, Bill.
Well, thanks, Bill, for the question. And, you know, I have a passion for our North Country. In fact, I can't find ways to spend enough time up there. I think the further north you get in the state, the more spectacular it becomes. So I really recognize and appreciate the unique beauty and characteristics of that part of the state. And I also recognize that there are real needs when it comes to trying to provide additional jobs and really across multiple disciplines. And I think a lot of it is about trying to bring a balance. And I think within the Department of Resources and Economic Development, we're doing some specific things. One is we are trying to work very closely with some of our Canadian companies just north of the border, talking to them about the opportunities and the benefits of being in the U.S. market space, and in particular in New Hampshire. There's provisions at the federal level, such as the Buy America Act, that have made Canadian companies look at entering the U.S. market in a new light. And so we're trying to make sure that we're there at the table having these conversations. We've had some successes, but we're still cultivating those relationships and working hard to try to bridge those opportunities and promote the North Country. And those, a lot of those companies are looking to be, you know, still close to the Canadian border. So they're not as interested perhaps as the southern part of the state as they are in the northern part of the state. We have an economic trade zone, international trade zone up in Colebrook. So we try to leverage that opportunity as well. But I think trying to get new jobs, particularly in the manufacturing field up in the North Country, is an absolute priority to both our agency, the governor, and I think throughout the state. So I think it is important. And we're also trying to find other ways to help further enhance the travel and tourism industry up in the North Country as well. We have some spectacular state parks that we're doing some great things. One in particular I think about is Jericho State Park up in Berlin, and the new emphasis that we've placed in trying to help promote the economy through ATV uses and celebrating that opportunity and creating a 1,000-mile network up in the North Country of we call it Ride the Wilds, and looking to try to bring the same sort of economic opportunity that our snowmobile industry has for the North Country and bringing that to the summer months and the warmer months through ATV use. So there's things that we're doing. As I understand it, the rooms and meals taxes up in the North Country are running at about 15% ahead of where they were last year, which I think is
15%.
Also 15%. Yep,
15%. Because overall statewide they were up, but it maybe about,
were yeah,
like
I think it was about 5% from the state over the last fiscal year, but in the North Country they were up even higher. And so I think you'll see that some of the efforts that we're making on a travel and tourism side are starting to root and make some benefits into the overall economy of the North Country. So it's a priority to me. I think it's critically important, and look forward to working with the Small Business Institute to trying to forge those types of partnerships.
Well, and it's a question that would take many, many shows to wrestle with, this balance between, you know, developing energy and so forth, but not killing the goose that lays the golden egg, so to speak, you know, the beautiful environment and tourism. And we've talked a lot about that on this show. Just two questions on this, and then we'll move on. One, what are your thoughts, Commissioner Rose, on striking that balance? I mean, some people are upset about the transmission towers that Northern Pass would bring. Some people, as our caller says, are upset about the wind towers. On the other hand, other people say, hey, that's economic development, it's jobs, it's alternative energy, this is a good thing. Boy, it's hard to know how to strike that balance.
Well, it's an important conversation to be having. My agency is in a unique position in the sense that we have multiple positions on the site evaluation committee. So I'm not in a position to get into any specifics on.
So you
on
are
any
involved in the site evaluation committee.
Yes,
your agency.
That's correct. Yeah. So we're not. I'm not in a position to get involved in talking specifics about any of the projects.
Sure.
However, I will say it is about bringing that balance. It is about having that debate. It is about having that thoughtful civic conversation about, you know, what do we want the future of our state to look like. Energy costs are important to our state, but again, we're a state that puts our economic development and our natural resources under one roof, and that's not by accident. It's because we value the beauty of our lands and recognize that a lot of our economic development opportunities are based on the beauty of our state and the unique characteristics of our state. So we celebrate bringing economic development and our natural resources together, and I think that's one of the things that makes, you know, Dread so unique, but our state so unique, and one of the reasons why we enjoy the high quality of life that we all come to expect here in New Hampshire.
Well, and that was going to be my other question. Dread's role in the Site Evaluation Committee, which, if our listeners don't know, that's the group that sort of approves or not alternative energy projects. Is that right, Commissioner Rose? Site Evaluation Committee.
Energy
yeah.
projects as a whole. So
sure.
It could be renewable energies or it could be
where
other energy
pushed.
Projects. Yes.
Okay, and your agency's involved in that as
yep.
well. All right, thanks a lot for the call, Bill. Big topic. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Commissioner Rose, let's take another phone call. This is Jenny waiting in Alexandria. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for hanging on.
Hello, and welcome, Commissioner Rose, to your new job.
Thanks, Jenny.
I'm from the Lakes region. I basically have a Newfound Lake practically in the front yard and Mount Cardigan in our backyard and Wellington State Park, of course, there too. And as you know, our economy is highly dependent upon tourism and outdoor recreation in this area. We're recovering from the recession, and now you just touched on this, Laura, that we possibly are threatened by 100 or more wind turbines surrounding our ridgelines and the trails of Mount Cardigan. And my original question prior to just a moment ago when I heard what you were saying was, do you see yourself in a role for advocating to protect the businesses from the negative impact this will have on the region and its tourism? But now I didn't realize you were on the SEC, so now I guess my question would say, is that not a conflict of interest for you? Is your role not a role for advocating this area and its unique beauty and characteristics? And if you can't do that because you're on the SEC, is that not a conflict?
Jenny, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Jenny. But again, I think, you know, we're a state that recognizes that there is that balance, and you try to bring the perspective of you know, there's a specific criteria that you look at serving on the SEC. And so you look at it through that lens, and you try to bring your expertise and your perspective and your background as to recognizing, you know, what's in the best interest of the overall state. It's an important part of the process, and you know, and I'm delighted to be able to serve in this role, and I do feel as though I bring a good balance in terms of appreciating the extraordinary value of our natural resources, and at the same time recognizing that that, you know, we do have you know, the opportunity to continue to try to promote our state both from an economic and from an environmental perspective. And just and you would know, you know, very well based on the region that you're in and the spectacular state park that we have over at Wellington, and so we're really proud of that, and we look forward to continue to promote and protect that part of the state.
Thanks a lot for your call, Jenny. And I wanted to ask you about state parks. As you know very well, Commissioner Rose, they're self-funded through user fees. They get no general fund revenue. As I understand, we're the only state that does it this way. How well do you think that model is working? Because there have been times over the years where some have said, it's not working, state parks are really struggling. But others have said, look, it works, and let's keep it that way. What do you think?
Yeah, it's always good to have that conversation. I'm incredibly proud of our team at the parks. I think we've actually, you know, really moved forward and made some very significant progress through the years. We were actually carrying a deficit of about $2.5 million as most recent as 2006. And we've worked hard to try to implement different measures to run our parks more as a business, and trying to make sure that you map out your revenues and your outlays to make sure that you're being as effective and efficient as you possibly can. And I'm proud to say that as of last year, we eliminated that deficit.
Really? Wow.
And we've been operating in the black for the last 2 years now. So we're in a very good position. I think we have a great and dedicated staff and team in place, and we're looking to continue to build off of that momentum. And we're very fortunate that we have so many extraordinary state parks. I mean, we have everything from Hampton Beach to the top of Mount Washington to, you know, Monadnock, and we have just wonderful places. And so to be able to run these parks, you know, more effectively and take advantage of these natural beauties, and trying to find ways to maximize the revenue perspective so we can have a holistic parks program that we can all be proud of within the state.
Okay, after a short break, I want to ask you one more question about that new state park, ATV park up in Berlin, and we'll get more feedback from our listeners. So keep it right here.
This is NHPR 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, for the first time in a century, the top 10% of earners took in more than half of the country's total income. Implications of America's new gilded age. Then, new warnings about narcotic painkillers. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Froehling Energy, providing and installing high-efficiency wood pellet boilers for commercial, institutional, and residential space heating, online at froehlingenergy.com. And from Warren Street Architects, an employee-owned cooperative, providing thoughtful planning, innovative design, and respectful collaboration for the built environment. More at warrenstreet.coop. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Find us on Facebook at NHPR Exchange to join the conversation ahead of the show. And be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9 for that. Today in The Exchange, we're sitting down with New Hampshire's new Commissioner of Resources and Economic Development, Jeffrey Rose, and we want to hear from you, whether you have questions, comments, concerns about the economic development side of his portfolio or the state parks, forests, and lands that we've been talking about. Call in 1-800-892-6477. Send a short email to exchange at nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, as I said, NHPR Exchange. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Commissioner Rose, a couple more questions about, again, the natural resources side of the business. State forests and lands get a lot less attention than state parks. You know, everybody's got their favorite park, whether it's Wellington or Hampton. And for me, it's hard to choose because I do love many of them. How about the state forests and lands? What do they do for our economy, for our tourism, for our overall culture here in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it because it is very important. In fact, New Hampshire is the second most forested state in the country. 84% of our state is forested, and the majority of that, vast majority of that, is in private hands. So we work very closely with a lot of our partners and trying to help promote best management practices, a healthy, sustainable forestry issues. We also work on trying to make sure that we have healthy and diverse forest. And so, I think we have a great team in place. We have we're also paying attention to things like our forest fires and trying to make sure that we have a healthy forest.
Although, given the wet weather we've had lately,
hasn't been quite as much of an issue here as other parts of the state. But we are prepared. In fact, we also work closely with other parts of the state and our friends in Canada to try to help with mutual aid and when there are forest fire issues. And then one of the other things that we do in terms of really trying to help promote forest health is one of the very first issues I actually ended up working on was we did detect the emerald ash borer, which is an invasive species.
Big issue, yes.
And that was an important issue. So we'd have a hardwood quarantine here in Merrimack County and trying to help to make sure we educate landowners and trying to help manage this as responsibly as possible to try to mitigate the impacts of that. And the good news is we had a plan in place. We're implementing that plan between the Forest and Lands team and the Department of Resources and Economic Development with the Department of Agriculture and a lot of our other partnership agencies, Cooperative Extension and such. And so we're working diligently to do that. We've had a lot of cooperation from the community and from landowners. But trying to help make sure that we promote and protect our forests are very important. And trying to do that through best management practices and sustainable forestry is critical.
Yeah, I can imagine that's an area where a lot of agencies would have to get together because DES has some of the expertise, Department of Environmental Services, but then your agency, Forest and Lands, and then UNH Cooperative Extension. So it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck thing. This little teeny bug can cause a lot of trouble.
most certainly. But it's an important part of our state's economy as well. So, the wood forest products is very important, and the biomass energy fields are very important to our state. So working cooperatively with our partners and trying to help promote a healthy forest is something that we take very serious, and we have a great team in place doing some really good work.
I want to also ask you about the new state park in Jericho, the ATV park, high hopes for that in the North Country. We've talked about that on this program before. What do you think is the goal to make New Hampshire a magnet for ATV riders because of this and that broader effort to make that huge ATV network? Ride the Wilds, I think you called it.
Yes, Ride the Wilds. I think it is unique in the sense that it's a 1,000-mile interconnected loop. And I think what we want to do is try to maximize the opportunity for people to enjoy their outdoor experiences here in New Hampshire. So and that includes snowmobiling in the winter, and now it includes ATVs in the summertime. And so we need to be thoughtful in our approach with it. We're working with the local snowmobile and ATV clubs. We're working with the local municipalities in developing a thoughtful plan to make sure that we do this and we do it right and we do it respectfully of the beauty that we have in our state. But I think it's a fantastic opportunity. It brings people into the state. They tend to stay longer. They go stay at our state parks. They stay in hotels or motels. They go out to restaurants. It's a great economic opportunity for our North Country. And it's also a way of promoting our state that's distinctive of any other state in the the region.
Well, and as you said, North Country rooms and meals are way up, so there may be an impact there already. But picking up on what you were starting to talk about, Commissioner Rose, you know, if we become known as a great state for ATVs, does that backfire among the hiking, camping, wildlife viewing crowd who sometimes don't really want to be with ATVs?
Yeah, so I think that that was what I was referencing in terms that needs to be done in a very thoughtful approach, and it needs to be to make sure that we'd have multiple uses and we have celebrate the diversity of options that people have, and that not one. You know, that you have different experiences and areas that are managed to help promote those different experiences depending on what our visitors and our guests and our citizens are looking for.
So sort of one place that's for quiet recreational use and one place that's for not quiet recreational use?
Well, or making sure that they're consistent in terms of, you know, valuing the characteristics of the land. Some areas are much more conducive for that than others, but also recognizing that again, it brings that balanced approach to things and recognizing that, you know, certain areas, certain things don't mix well together. So you have to, you know, bring that balance and working with at the local level and working with the communities to try to develop and those private landowners as to what the appropriate uses are of that land and make sure that we provide that diverse experience set for all of our guests.
Let's go back to our listeners and take a call from Deborah in Portsmouth. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Commissioner Rose.
Okay, let me turn the radio down because it seems like there's a delay.
Yep. You need to turn the radio down when you call in, and that's good advice for anybody who calls in. Go ahead, Deborah, if you've managed to
okay.
do that.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling from Portsmouth right now, and previously I've lived in Stratham and Hampton, so and Exeter, as well as Epping. And my frustration has been, as well as that of a lot of people I know who don't prefer to drive or cannot drive, that there is no public transportation between the seacoast and the capital city, Concord, Manchester, and other areas in between. And this really is both an expense and a nuisance. I used to go to visit in Montreal a lot, for example, and I had to go to Boston in order to go to up through Manchester and so forth in order to get to Canada.
Yeah.
And that's one thing.
Well, and let's talk about that, Deborah. It's a good point, actually, that you raise. And we talked with Chris Clement, our transportation commissioner, I believe, last week or the week before, so you can look that up. It's a good point. But I'm glad you called because, you know, transportation, she's right, Commissioner Rose, is part of economic development. There has been a lot of concern that, you know, we can go north-south, but we can't get east-west. But I think Commissioner Clement told me that there was new bus service coming east-west.
So there, you know, Commissioner Clement would certainly have a better grasp
Absolutely.
Of some of the rail and the bus services that we have within the state. However, the interconnection between having a good modal transportation system and economic development is really important. And, you know, having good highways and roads and safe bridges is critical for the movement of goods and services from a travel and tourism perspective. So I really enjoy working with Commissioner Clement on these different issues. We're making incremental progress on some very important parts of this transportation system. We're going through a 10-year highway plan process right now, so I'd encourage people to get out and engage in that process. But, you know, things like the open road tolling, getting, you know, bridges up at the Memorial Bridge back open out in Portsmouth, you know, having a first-rate airport at the Manchester Airport, you know, trying to find ways to improve the flow of traffic and goods and services is absolutely critical, not only from a commerce perspective and a travel and tourism perspective, but from a safety perspective. And as Deborah references, you know, the convenience of making sure that people can get back and forth to the different spots around the state.
Yeah, and Deborah, I'm sorry I don't remember the exact details, but I do think if you nose around a little bit or listen back to our interview with Commissioner Clement, I do think there is east-west bus service coming, although I think it might be to Manchester, not Concord. So, and that's what you're talking about. So, Deborah, thank you for raising the point. Here's a comment from Facebook from Victoria, who says, please ask Commissioner Rose about economic development for New Hampshire that takes climate change into consideration. I recently saw him at a forum on this topic in Manchester, and he spoke eloquently about this issue, noting, among other things, how vulnerable the state's natural resources and tourism are to climate change. And Victoria, thanks for the point. And it's a question I want to ask you, too. economic development professionals like yourself, Commissioner Rose, are starting to talk about climate change as an economic issue.
Yes, I think that that's fair, and particularly when you look at the portfolio of the issues that we manage on behalf of the state with the Department of Resources and Economic Development, even just within state parks, weather plays a huge impact on the success and the number of visitors that we have at these state parks. So for instance, Memorial Day weekend, we had cold, wet weather. In fact, we had snow in parts of our state, which isn't necessarily conducive for tent, not good for tent camping. So, our campgrounds, suffered from that. And so, we have to pay attention to these things and manage them in accordance. We also have two ski mountains that we manage, one through Sunapee through a lease, but also up at Cannon Mountain. And so the impact that weather can have on our snow and our travel and tourism and our parks and our state economy is very real. And then I guess the last point that I'll make to that is just even sort of the business contingencies in trying to make sure that you're prepared and be able to try to manage when you have these natural disasters is certainly important. And these extreme weather events have become more and more frequent, and you need to take that as part of your overall business continuity plan and making sure that you're prepared. If you don't have power for 2 weeks, what does that mean? Or if you have major flooding, what does that mean? How are you going to get back up and running so you can meet the needs of your customers? So climate change and weather is certainly something that we have to think about and sort of manage and take very seriously, because we've seen that these can be some significant swings and it can have an impact and really a diverse set of issues.
Well, not just on the natural resources end, but as you said, on the business planning end. I think you were quoted as saying that BAE had a factory or a facility down in the area in the Mid-Atlantic that was hit hard by Hurricane Sandy, and that was tough for them.
We did, and in particular, we had a facility out in upstate New York as well that was significantly impacted during Hurricane Irene, and we had 200 million gallons of water and just wipe out a facility that had 1,200 people. But we had a great team in place, a plan in place, and we were able to get back up and running and be fully operational in about 2 weeks and get everybody back to work. These things happen, and you have to try to manage them and be prepared for them and recognize that climate does play a role in your business continuity as well as the overall health of the state's economy.
Well, Victoria, thanks a lot for that comment. Two more quick things that I did want to get to you with, Commissioner Rose. One is, I mentioned earlier your trip to Canada and how robust that economic relationship is already. Canada and New Hampshire have a great economic relationship. Where could it be strengthened even further? What sorts of issues were you talking about with your Canadian counterparts a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. And I was up with Governor Haas and some other members of the state's leadership team and talking as part of the New England Governors and Eastern Canadian Premiers Conference. It was a very good conversation. It's good to meet some of your different peers and trying to have these conversations and forge these relationships so you can look at different opportunities and collaborate together. And in fact, one of the most exciting elements of it is next year, New Hampshire will be hosting this conference. So we're looking forward to doing that. And Governor Haasen wants to put a particular focus around economic development and trying to forge partnerships between the different New England states and the Eastern Canadian provinces and trying to find ways that we can collaborate and work together. So I think that's really an exciting development. But we look at our neighbors to the north, and they are our top trading partner. They're one of our top three visitors to our state parks, and from a travel and tourism perspective, we try to be as user-friendly as we possibly can. And I think that makes a difference. And I think there are things that we're looking to try to do now to even try to increase that collaboration and that partnership and celebrate that close alliance that we share together. So I think we have a lot of really good things that we have. I know the governor is interested in trying to reinstitute a trade commission that has been relatively dormant the last few years and trying to really try to celebrate these opportunities with Canada. So
you hear a lot of French spoken at Hampton Beach.
That you do. It's not by accident that we have the Canadian flag out as well, and we try to be as welcoming as we can to our friends and neighbors to the north.
Well, I want to ask you about an issue on the other side of the border, and now I'm talking about Massachusetts, Commissioner Rose. Massachusetts, as you know, recently passed a so-called tech tax, a 6.25% sales tax on computer and software technology services. How does this affect New Hampshire businesses, Commissioner Rose? And we should say it's not in place yet. It's supposed to go into place January 1st.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic and development. We're learning more as time progresses, but I think it's an example of how the philosophy of a state and the tax policies that a state implement can have an impact on businesses. And there's been quotes out there that said that this is the most destructive tax from an innovative and technology standpoint that's out there. And so we're trying to learn more about it, but we look at it as an opportunity to help, again, celebrate the uniqueness and the philosophy that we have here in the state of New Hampshire, which is we're going to provide you a healthy environment for which you can worry about trying to grow your top line, and we're not going to implement a bunch of policies and provisions and regulations that are going to beat up your bottom line. So we look at it as an opportunity, again, to sort of celebrate the perspective that we bring here in New Hampshire. We've already had some businesses contact us about asking about our tax climate, and so it has the potential to even be a recruiting tool for
us. A good selling point for New Hampshire.
Sometimes the decisions that other states make just make our philosophy and perspective look even better.
Well, for a small state like New Hampshire, in a small region like New England, where there's more fluidity maybe, I did read earlier this week that Governor Patrick in Massachusetts is now really hearing it from his tech sector, and he may work to repeal the tax. But for now, it's a good selling point for this state. I did wonder, though, Commissioner Rose, there's lots of New Hampshire businesses who also have businesses in the Bay State. Is there a possible compliance nightmare there?
We'll see. Yes, we're paying attention
still new,
to
I
that
understand
and
that.
Trying to figure out exactly some of the impacts and the implications. Obviously, it'll have to be implemented in a constitutional fashion, and so we'll see how that all unfolds. But stay tuned. We're paying attention to it, and again, we look at it as a way to celebrate the uniqueness of New Hampshire and the philosophy that we bring in terms of trying to be a business-friendly state here in New Hampshire.
Okay. Well, Commissioner Rose, it's been good to talk to you. The first of, I'm sure, many conversations. Thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
That's Jeffrey Rose, New Hampshire's new commissioner for the Department of Resources and Economic Development. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteers are Priscilla Malcolm, John Barrett, and Alan Cohen. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoi.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoi, and tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. The Medicaid Expansion Commission wraps up phase one of its work, looking at an alternative approach based much more on private markets. Towns across New Hampshire pause to remember the 12th anniversary of 9/11, and the Old Farmer's Almanac predicts a cold, snowy winter for the Granite State. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.
The Diane Rehm Show next at 10 on NHPR, where we get support from UR members and from Grupponi Automotive Group, providing 6 auto lines, including Ford, Toyota, Honda, in a relaxed, stress-free sales environment. Driven to Amaze in Bow and online at grupponi.com. And Huggins Hospital in Wolfboro, providing a continuum of health care to both year-round and summer residents of the Eastern Lakes region, on the web at hugginshospital.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene,
90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Tom Gelton of NPR, sitting in for Diane Rehm. 5 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers sparked a financial crisis, the U.S. economy is finally coming back. Home sales are rebounding, the auto industry surging, banks have healthier balance sheets, and credit is easing. But the recovery is uneven. The Great Recession has been followed by what some economists